Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning in. It's not the Elliot Ness Show. I love that crime buster sound. I mean, I've always wanted to play the Elliot Ness crime theme before I came in, like dun 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 dun, like it's another episode. But welcome to all my fans, to all my fans and listeners on the World Wide Web. You are listening to the Don S. McClure Show. And of course, I am Don S. McClure. And I want to thank you for tuning in. I want you to sit back and relax and enjoy this special one-hour presentation. You can call me at 818-691-7395. That number to call is 818-691-7395 if you'd like to reach me. Or you can email me, like a lot of people do, at McClureDonS@gmail.com. We have an exciting show for you today. We're going to listen to a little of Tyler Perry's message. We're going to talk about the president's speech. And we're going to talk about an issue of what is your motive and also your motivation. But before we get into our show, we are going to talk a little bit about the new book that I'm working on called To Have a Friend. And I put some information out on Facebook about one of the characters. Well, she's actually a minor character, and she does get shot in the first scene, and I have to decide on whether I'm going to just knock her off, as the crime people say, or let her die, or I'm going to let her live. And I'm kind of taking a survey with people to see which one they want me to do. But we're going to talk about that. But again, you're listening to the Don S. McClure Show, and of course, I am on this Friday evening, Don S. McClure. We're going to take a quick PSA break, so that I can get ready for you, my listening audience. We're going to come back. We're going to have a good show. And we are going to talk about things in the news today. We're going to talk about the president's speech. And I definitely want you to listen to the Tyler Perry message. I got a lot out of that message. So sit tight. Get your pens and papers ready. And I shall be right.
You may be hearing about people having trouble making mortgage payments and risking losing their homes.
Many of them just aren't aware of the options that can prevent foreclosure. There are many options available to homeowners, such as repayment and forbearance plans, loan modifications, and even refinancing. Where does someone go for help? They should talk directly with their lender or a qualified HUD-approved counseling agency. Both can provide helpful information without charging a fee. According to PMI Mortgage Insurance Company, it's not a good idea to pay for services that you can get for free from a lender or a qualified nonprofit counseling agency. To learn more, visit HomeSafePMI.com or call HUD at 1-800-569-4287 for a counseling agency near you. That's 1-800-569-4287. This message is brought to you by PMI, supporting sustainable home ownership that strengthens community.
And we're back, and you're listening to the Donis McClure Show on a Friday. And I do believe it is the 27th. Man, this month is moving by. It's almost February, Valentine's Day. Well, again, we're talking about the books that I write. Now, as a writer, you always have characters, and of course, I'm not going to give you the whole plot, but I kind of wanted to put it out there because something had happened. I guess it was very violent in the very first part of the story, and it's called To Have a Friend. So if you can get a chance, go to my website, www.dsmpublications.net, and look up my book, To Have a Friend. Now, as I said, there's a young lady who actually goes to see Eric Batista, who's one of the major characters. She's trying out for an audition. She's a singer, but she happens to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. So she gets shot very violently. Now, after some of the other people, and I won't tell you how many, get taken out of the place where they got shot, because I don't want to tell you where it is, I'm trying to decide on if she should die in the ambulance or whether she should die inside the building or whether we should just let her die in the hospital. So I put that information out there. Now, Tina Stewart said, I think you should let her die on the way to the hospital. That story seems interesting. And I kind of like that, Tina. I kind of agree. Maybe she should die on the way to the hospital. But Alice Ford said, I say let her live. As you come to the end, you could bring her back and make her debut singing somewhere. And I thought maybe, you know, I might play with that, but I doubt it. Still thinking about knocking her off. Then Alice wrote back and said, oh, or you can pick her up in another novel. So that means that you kind of want to bring her back like I do some of my characters. Now, one of my editors in Texas, Sharon, said, hey, Don, the story has good flow. My suggestion is not let her die on the way to the hospital. It's not dramatic enough, so maybe I won't do that one. And then Andrea in Washington said, let her live and don't kill her off. I said, okay, I'm thinking about that and thinking about maybe I'll let her live, like most stories. I guess we won't kill her off. I don't know. Now, my niece Kathy, who's in Chicago, she says, someone should get killed in your first chapter. If she doesn't get murdered, someone should. Also, in a crime thriller, we know who the killer is, and the other characters do not. In a murder mystery, we do not know the killer until the end, even though someone still gets killed in the first chapter. And she also says she's working on a trilogy of horror, so she wants me to keep it moving. Then I guess she gave it some thought, and she wrote back and said, a lot of people getting killed, it's a massacre. This is insane. I want to read it once it's published. I enjoy scary movies. I see body bags already at the crime scene. Now, you know, everybody has their take on it, and like I said, we're just trying to get it out there. But my brother Ellis, he says, I say let her live in big letters, and he said, God will pour out blessings. We have too much violence in books and movies already. And he just laughed. He's just joking because he thinks he's a Don, you crazy. But I kind of like the part about the evaluation different people are giving me about this character. So I'm going to wait another month before I decide to whether I'm going to knock her off or not. Now, you know, during our show, we always read some emails. And I'm always proud of the emails that we get because they're in replies to either my books that someone's read. Well, this one says, Dear Don, I am here at work checking out your show from Saturday. Thanks for the shout out. And, of course, I always send shouts out, and I'm going to do some tonight. I love it. The show is wonderful. I had to ask myself, do I have that warrior-type attitude? I have always been a positive-thinking person, even when I was really deep in some mess, because I knew no matter what I was going through, God would see me out of it. It may have taken longer than I thought it should, but I now understand it was the time God needed for me to see what I was doing wrong. I know if I miss your show, I can still catch it online. The show was very, very inspirational. Thanks. And that's Alice Ford, and she's in Atlanta. So, again, we get these emails in, and people are always talking about the show, how much they like it. And, of course, she has two of my books, Broken Wings, Fallen Angels, and Romantic Images of You. And I'm telling you guys, I need your support out there. I need for you to get more of my books and get online at my website and just make me the most popular author in America. But tonight's show, we're going to talk about what the president talked about, class warfare. And what he's talking about between the Republican Party and the Democrats and the general public. Now, I don't know if some of you can see my show on Blog Talk Radio. It flashes some pictures. And what I did was I put a picture up of one of the presidents in Cuba back in the day. And he was involved in organized crime and some other things, but he was inside of the palace having breakfast with his wife. So I wanted people to see that picture because it's kind of what Barack Obama's talking about. Now, the president was well off at that time. And I think it's around 1952. I'm not sure. It's probably 1952, 53. But anyway, Batista is in the palace with his wife. Now, if you see the other picture, the people outside in Cuba at that time were living in squalor. And the average person, the average income, was only $6 a week. And 15 to 20% of the labor force was chronically unemployed. And only a third of the homes had running water. So I want you to take a look at that picture. Because what Barack is talking about is all these people with money who are not paying their fair share of taxes. So you have like Batista living in the palace doing really well, while the people at the bottom are making $6 a week. And from my understanding, the wages hasn't changed that much. Now, in 1952, Batista again ran for president in a three-way race with two other people, and they kind of stole the election. But upon his return to power, Batista did not continue the progressive social policies that he had promised these people earlier. So again, Cuba was really in trouble. Now, you think about it. I've always said, and I did a little cartoon character on Facebook where when President Barack Obama was talking about what Lincoln had said, so I had this little character with a Lincoln stove pipe hat on and a little curly thing above his head saying, hey, I think we need to do something about education. I think we need to do something about taxes. And then I put on the side one of the Republicans or image of a Republican lady with her finger up saying, hey, I mean, why do these people want us to do anything? Can't we all get along? I mean, we're still making money, even though the educational system was bad before Barack got there. Now, I don't know about you, but knowing that somebody that's tremendously wealthy pays less tax than I do, and I'm only making $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 a year trying to feed a family, and somebody else is making $41 million and paying less tax. I don't care what the Republicans say. How can you justify that issue? I mean, it's just common sense to say if you make more money, you should pay more taxes. If you make less money, then you should pay less tax. So the Republicans' argument about what the president is saying doesn't make any sense. But we're going to let you decide on what you want to say. If you want to call in, you can reach me at 691-7395. That number to call me is 818-691-7395. Or you can email me, like again, as I always say, like a lot of you do, at McClureDonS@gmail.com. And we'll read some of those nice worded emails. But I think it's a lot to think about. Again, you know, finding things that people do and say, especially in the political arena, they kind of don't make any sense when a party saying that we're fighting against the president. Now, when I was doing my research on the levels of the haves and the have-nots, I found an old song that I liked, and I'm going to play it for you in a second. And I want you to listen to the words in that song, because it's talking about the economy at that time, which still relates to today. So we're going to let you take a listen to a group called the Stylistics, and it's a song called People Make the World Go Round. But I want you to sit down and listen to what they're saying in the song, because it kind of relates to the Republican Party today and what they're saying. So we're going to give you a quick listen, and I'm going to get off this soapbox for a minute. Let you listen to this song, People Make the World Go Round.
Make the world go round.
about you, but I think they mentioned Wall Street. So, I mean, it's almost like they could see this coming. So these guys are sitting around smoking their big cigars. They don't have any complaints because they know they're going to get their bailouts. So here's the Republican Party, whether it's Newt Gingrich or Mitt Romney. I mean, I understand you want to be president, but when you're not looking at the realistic issues and you bring up things like one guy saying, hey, we need to work with Cuba. Well, you wasn't working with Cuba in 1952, in 1963, in 1972, in 1982. I mean, so when did you get this miraculous presidential theory that all of a sudden, after Fidel Castro is gone, and his brother is now the head of the government, from what I understand, could be wrong about that. Now, all of a sudden, when you're running for politics, you want to say, well, concerning the Hispanic vote or the Latin vote, I now want to get involved in Cuba if I was president. Now, I think that when you think about that, these are what I call sound bites. And it sounds real good to tell the Republican people who support you that, hey, I think that's a grand idea. But you guys had times long before this. If you knew somebody was making $6 a week, now I didn't say $6 a month, I didn't say $6 an hour, I didn't say $6 in 2 hours, I said $6 a week. And you mean to tell me you couldn't figure out long before President Barack Obama came that you weren't handling things in Cuba? And I think we all remember the Cuban crisis. So I think when you listen to Republicans, and I'm not against anybody running for office, but bring me some solid facts that you're saying President Barack Obama has not done all that he could do, and that if you got in there, you couldn't change Cuba in 4 years if you tried. You couldn't change the economy better than what the president has actually worked on. But let's go back to that song. They're talking about garbage men being on strike, which is kind of like the strikes and the turmoil we're having now. I mean, come on, people. It's not rocket science to say that you want to be president, but you can't do a much better job than what the man who's in office already has really worked on, because it's going to take more than 4 years. But you're listening to the Donis McClure Show, and tonight, of course, you're listening to Donis McClure. And if you want to reach me, you can dial 818-691-7395. That is the numbers to call. And again, I just saw I Am flash up that somebody said, do not kill my character, but I got news for them. She's borderline right now. She may get killed. But anyway, I want to know what you think. If you want to email me or send me an IM, please do so. But I'm telling you, class warfare, you think about it. And again, I'll say it, and I've said it 15 million times. Warren Buffett has said he pays less tax than his secretary. And he's talking about something called the Buffett rule. And everybody in the financial industry respects Warren Buffett because he's made billions of dollars. But if he can see there's a problem, I don't understand how Republican candidates can justify saying something against the president rather than saying, you know what, it's not even about Barack Obama, the president. It's really about what I can do. I think the president's done a good job. As a matter of fact, I wish I had recorded the one that Mitch Daniels just did. Mitch Daniels just said that actually the president's a very moral person. He does real well with his family. He's tried to do these things. He's got bin Laden. And the only thing he disagrees with on is the tax issues, that how are we going to get better education. But we're going to talk about education when I come right back, and we're also, again, going to play that Tyler Perry message for you. So I want you to stay tuned and listen to the Donis McClure Show, but we got to take a quick PSA, and I shall be right back.
Do you see that doggy in the shelter?
Hi,
Hi, I'm Buddy, the adorable puppy you adopted from the Humane Society.
Meow. I'm Whiskers, a fluffy kitty, just waiting for someone to love me.
When you adopt a pet, we hope your new furry friend will become a cherished member of your family. And as Buddy and Whiskers will tell you, the key to success is following the rules to love by.
Woof, that's right. Please give me food, water, and exercise every day. To stay healthy, I need the same kind of things you need.
Talk to me. I like hearing your voice.
You're my best friend. Please don't stay mad at me or lock me up as punishment. Remember, I'm probably going to live 10 to 15 years, so take care of me when I get old.
One day you'll need someone to take care of you, too.
A message from the Montgomery County Humane Society. Visit www.mchumane.org for the complete rules to love by.
Be your best friend for life.
And we're back, and you're listening to the Donis McClure Show on a Friday night. And we are talking about class warfare and what the president had to say during the presidential State of the Union. Matter of fact, I think I'm going to give me a State of the Union, a State of the Week, a State of the Day, a State of everything, because we're in turmoil. But I kind of want to go back over something about Cuba, because I found Cuba to be very interesting. Now, for years, jobs varied from farm workers and doctors in Cuba. And actually, there was only a slight difference in the wages with the equivalent of the U.S. dollar. Now, the average monthly wage in Cuba, I think maybe in 08, was $20, leaving many Cubans struggling to make ends meet. So if they're getting $20 and the wages are not that different for the doctors, so what are the doctors getting, like $30? I mean, come on. Why do you think people leave other countries and come to America? Now, a former dissident, Lizette Fernandez, a former dissident, campaigned for a change in Cuba. And when she moved to Florida, she was telling the Miami Herald, I think all of the changes made so far, this is one which is the most important. If you worked in an office in Cuba, you often got paid the same as the person who cleaned the office. So that means the secretary is making the same amount of money that the guy came in and cleaned the office. Slow and lazy people got the same or even more. And this is her words, not mine. So I don't want to hear people saying Don said Cubans were slow and lazy, because the bosses got their jobs through political connections and didn't do any work. And she says that the changes meant that in real growth in Cuba, maybe you got 50 cents more. Now, 50 cents doesn't sound like a lot, but at the end of the month, it's the difference between being able to buy one bar of soap, or maybe two bars of soap. Now, this is something she said. So when people talk about what the difference is in class warfare, think about somebody being able to invest $6 or $7 or $8 or $50 million into some stocks and bonds, and you're trying to figure out how to get a cup of coffee from Starbucks. And then the Republicans are saying, the president isn't doing anything to deal with that. That's what he's talking about. So, again, we're going to take some looks at that and see exactly what is going on in the American market and the political field, that people are going into these debates making some strange, we won't even call them the words that we need to use, but if they could stand on podiums and 1 minute say, I'm representing Fannie Mae, and then the next minute say, I don't think Fannie Mae is good, but these are the people that want to run the country for you. I just think it's crazy, but I think you're listening to the Donis McClure Show, and we're going to talk about that in a few minutes. So again, class warfare. What do you think class warfare means? Do you mean that you think it's like the rich or the poor or the haves and the have-nots? But what do you think it is? Or do you think that our president made some valid points? I do know one thing in research. When I looked up the issues concerning education, before the president became president, we were lagging behind in math and science behind other countries. That it just made no sense. And this had been happening because the Congress had a copy of the reports that we were far behind other countries. Our eighth graders were falling behind. We were just not keeping pace. As a matter of fact, one of the NPR shows was saying that American students, black and white, were just not interested in the sciences. They were not participating as much as they could. And I thought that that was kind of crazy. I just think that we need better education. That's what I better education. Well, I like it when my studio audience claps for me. But education is a serious issue in this country. And I thought the president is really trying to do a good job. And we'll be able to tell by some of the emails that I get. But again, class warfare. Now, we're going to get into this thing about what's your motive of operation. What we're talking about there is when you do something. I don't know if any of you remember, but there was a movie called Rosewood. And I want you to go back and think about that movie, because there's a lot of motives that you will get a chance to recognize. Now, remember the young lady that started the whole, what we call hullabaloo? She turned the town upside down because of her own indiscretions. But if I want you to go back and get that movie and watch her at the doorway. Now, she's standing there getting ready to turn the knob. And in her mind, she knows that if she goes through with her statement that she's already concocted in her mind, the whole town's going to be in an uproar because they're going to take pieces of what she says and run with it. Well, she's going to try to tailor make her statement so that it isn't as bad. But she also realizes there's a lot of racial tension. And think about that when she makes those statements to the community, to a passerby, then to the whole community, and to the sheriff, who doesn't quite believe her, but he's going to kind of take her word for it. So I want you to go back to that movie, because if you watch her hand, she's real hesitant about her motive of what she's going to say. Now, she's not motivated by her motive. She's motivated by the fact of that she's had an affair while her husband was at work. And she was so jealous of the guy talking to somebody else that she hit him. And in turn, he beat her up. As simple as that. Well, now she's got these marks on her body that she knows she can't explain to her husband. So her motive, so that her husband doesn't see her for the woman that he already knows she is, but he won't say anything to her, she's got to concoct this story. Well, that's her motive to get out of a situation of an argument between her husband and her. So she's not motivated to turn the town around. She's motivated by saying my motive so that my husband doesn't get on me as bad and know that I've been fooling around because I got the marks and I can't hide it. I'm going to go ahead and say that a black man beat me up. And when she says this, when she goes out the door, her motive for getting out of an argument with her husband escalates. And if you watch her now, I want you to watch this scene, because first she says help real lightly, like help, like a cat, help. And then she steps it up when she sees a guy on the wagon. Now, I'm not laughing because they threw up the towel, but it's kind of funny if you watch that movie where she started saying help. Now, she knows she's not telling the truth. So when he asked Fanny what's wrong, she says she's got beaten up. Well, now her motive to tell a story has gotten out of control. So now she's motivated to take the story a little bit higher, what we call taking it a notch up. So when the sheriff comes, he hears parts of it, and like any other rumor, a little boy hears it, and all he hears her say is that she got beat by a black guy. He in turn says, he goes and tells somebody else that Fanny got raped and beat by a black man. And the town's motive for disliking the Rosewood people is because they got more money than them. The blacks are doing well, and they don't like it. Like one guy says, that black guy's got a piano, and I don't have no piano. And another guy says, okay, so you can't play a piano. And the guy says, I don't care. He got a piano, and I don't. And the rich white guy, Mr. Collier, he got a piano, and I don't have no piano. Now, how does that look? So that shows you the difference in, we're talking about what your motive is when you do things. And remember we were talking about before, when you get involved in relationships, when you get involved in friendships, when you get involved in loaning people money, what's your motive? Are you loaning it because you really want to help this person? Or is your motive so that you feel better and think that you're talking down to this person? Because it can't be to help them, because if you're trying to help them, you wouldn't be concerned, like I told you about Susie Orman. These guys loaned her money, and they didn't expect to get it back. They didn't care. Because their motive, when they heard her dilemma, was to help her. So we want to talk about that tonight. My number is 818-691-7395. You're listening to the Don S. McClure Show. And, yes, I'm a little hoarse. Actually, I was a little sick yesterday. I wasn't feeling too well. Probably running my mouth too long. But anyway, we're talking about class warfare, and we're also talking about the differences between a motive and motivation. And we'll be right back after this current PSA.
This is Chicago-style hot dog here. I'm not feeling too good. Turns out, along with all the other bad things my cholesterol does, they say it's a risk factor for strokes. Strokes? Sheesh. Good news from National Stroke Association. Exercising, eating right, and asking your doctor about medicines that can help lower your cholesterol, like statins, may reduce the risk of a first stroke. And if you've already had a stroke, it's even more important you lower your cholesterol.
Lower your chances of stroke by controlling your cholesterol. Visit stroke.org today.
Hello?
Lisa, it's Janet.
What's wrong?
Because the bridesmaids' dresses for Lindsay's wedding.
Oh, no. Tell me they're not fuchsia.
Oh, they're not fuchsia.
Then what? Oh, they're gaudy, aren't they? All ruffles and lace. Great. Well, look at the chorus line.
No. They're really quite simple. It's the material I'm most concerned about.
Oh, I knew it. I specifically said no chiffon. I mean, it's so passé. I just don't think...
It's not chiffon.
Then what?
They're made out of old yellow pages.
What? I didn't catch that. It sounded like you said they're made out of old yellow pages.
Yep. I'm afraid you heard right. It's got something to do with recycling and good karma on her wedding day.
Oh, that's special. I'm not going to know whether a guy's checking me out or just looking for the number of a good mechanic.
Funny. Very funny.
There's a better way to recycle your outdated Dex phone books. Find out just how easy we've made it in your neighborhood. Call 1-877-2-GET-DEX or log on to DexKnows.com.
And we're back. And you're listening to the Don S. McClure Show. And, yes, I sound a little hoarse. So I got a little sore throat. Maybe I need some Sudafed or I don't know. But, anyway, listen, my producers are signaling me to don't forget to bring the Tyler Perry message on. I think the Tyler Perry message is one that I'm sure a lot of you saw, at least I hope you saw it, on Facebook. We're going to play it, and I want you to listen to what he says. He's trying to tell you about the way he feels about whatever it is you want to do in the arts or whatever it is, whether you want to do hair or bake cookies. But he's kind of giving you a message that I want you to listen to. We got 20 more minutes into the show. I'm going to play the Tyler Perry message. I want you to listen to that. Get your pens and paper, please, so that you can listen to what he's saying and take some what we call cliff notes or some little short notes. But listen to it because we're going to discuss it. Here's the Tyler Perry message.
I'll make sure I don't laugh at South Park. You know, the question is that a lot of people ask me all the time, how did you make it? How did you make it? Well, I say there's only one answer for that. And I say this in press all the time, but people do cut it out of articles, or they don't want to print it, or they don't want to say it. But the truth be told, there's nothing but the grace of God. Nothing but the grace of God. You can plant seeds all day long. You can go around giving your business card to people. You can go around knocking on doors and auditioning. You can do all of that every day of your life. And nothing, for most people, nothing happens. When a seed is planted in the ground, all you can do is water it. You cannot control the sunshine. You cannot control the weather. And you cannot control whether the locusts will come and try and destroy it. All you can do is plant your seed in the ground, water it, and believe. That is what allowed me to be in this position right now. I would not stop believing. I planted my seed. I worked really hard. I had one idea, and that was to do a play. All the other stuff came. My only idea, my only focus was to do my one play. And I knew if I could get that to work, everything else would come to pass. There's so many people who go in so many directions. This week they're doing this, and next week they're doing that, and next week they're doing this, and next week they're going to be in real estate, and the next week they're going to open a salon. And those kind of people are all over the place, and I usually try to get them to focus. Focus on one thing, one area. Put all of your energy into watering one area. If you spread the water across many, many seeds, you don't have as much water for one seed. So focus on one thing. Make it your priority and stick with it no matter what. No matter how many people told me no, no matter how many people lied to me, no matter how many times I put the show up and nobody came. I remember when I did my very first show, I worked my butt off and saved $12,000, tax returns, from H&R Block money. I saved it, worked hard, saved it myself, rented the 14th Street Playhouse, put that show up, thought that 1,200 people would come over a weekend, and 30 showed up, and I knew every one of them. But I didn't stop. That didn't deter me. That was in 1992. 93, same thing happened. 94, 95, 96, 97, up until 1998. Same devastation, nobody showing up in the audience. I was doing one show a year, working with different promoters, trying to get the show up, and nobody showed up. But I didn't stop. And my what I say to you now, looking at me now, here, I am a human being. There's no difference between my humanness and your humanness. The only thing is, if you're trying to get there, you cannot stop believing in any way. No matter what anybody says, no matter what anybody tells you, you have to know it beyond knowing it. And it is a feeling. When something is for you, this is how I knew it was for me. When something is for you, there's a feeling that is deep down inside of you that will not allow you to let it go. It will keep you going when you can't even keep yourself going. That's why the mantra here at the Tyberry Studios is a place where even dreams believe. Because there comes a time in your life where you've worked and you've stressed and you tried to get there and you couldn't on your own, but you have a dream. And that dream has to take on the belief for you, because you can't do it by yourself. So what I would tell you is this: don't stop. Narrow your focus to one idea, one, and make it work. That will give birth to all the others. All you can do is plant the seed and water it. God himself has to give the increase. Only God can make the sunshine. Only God can bring the rain. But if you planted the seed, then you've done your part. I wish you so much success in 2012. Anything you want is possible. God knows I'm a living witness. Please feel me. Please hear this from my heart. Anything you want is possible. If I didn't believe it, I wouldn't take the time to send this message to you. Take care of yourself.
Wow, now I think that message deserves a round of applause. We got 15 more minutes into the show. And if you have an idea, no matter what anybody tells you, no matter what they say you should do, no matter what they say you should think, You stick to it. Now, there's a price to pay for that. Like he said, 92, 93, 94, 95, 96, 97, up until 1998, 7 years, he did not have a hit. He said his first show, 30 people came. Same thing. He kept believing. Now, it's difficult when you make a decision to do something because you can feel it in your gut. The president has made a decision to make this a better country. When you make that decision, no matter what your family says, like he told you, no matter what your girlfriend says, your cousin, your minister, whoever it is, if you believe and you stick with that idea, 9 times out of 10, like any seed, it's going to start to grow. The thing that I want to add to that is once that seed starts growing, you have to keep feeding it and nurturing it, which means that that's your creative side or that's your promotional side. You keep talking about it. You keep sending it out. You keep talking to people about what it is you believe in. And when you do that, you stand a chance of making it like all the other greats out there. But you won't know that if you give up. We know it gets hard. We know that everybody would like to be millionaires or whatever. But again, you have to stick with that. And like he said, get one thing. I've got friends of mine that start businesses, and they always want to do 15 million things and get somebody else to do it for them and turn around and get this person. They have to be the captain of the ship, because just like that ship went down and the captain jumped off board, that's what will happen to your dream. You have to be diligent. And if you want to watch a really good TV series, go back and get the Elliot Ness, The Untouchables. He is relentless. He will not give Al Capone and them a break. And he is determined to stop the Capone organization in Chicago. I mean, you got examples everywhere. You got good television series. You got people doing stuff, writing. They tell me that there was a lady on TV the other day, had been waiting to get her book out there. She's now on TV. You have to stay the course. And I want you to write that down. Stay the course. No matter what the wind does, no matter what the storm does, no matter how much in debt you go, no matter what happens, there is a silver lining to what you do. All that is going to be part of you getting to where you go. They say that Tyler Perry slept in cars. They say that friends of his walked away from him. He even tells you that people lied to him, that he knew the check was on the way. But again, you have to believe when nobody else believes, if it's truly what you want to do. And if you keep planting those seeds, you keep watering that seed, which is what he talked about, eventually you will get there. We got 11 more minutes into the show. This hour has flown by. My name is Don S. McClure, and you are listening to the Don S. McClure Show, and we are talking about a few subjects which are all relating to the same thing. But we want you to make sure that you stay on course, because when it's all said and done, you have the last say to your life. So if you believe in something and you truly believe and you're working at it and you're taking that Cinderella man attitude, that's the boxer that I watched in a movie, you can make it. You may not get everything that you want from that dream, but you can get 90% of it. And I'm telling you, don't let anybody, and I do mean anybody, stop you from doing what you're doing. We got 10 more minutes into the show. I'm going to take another quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about class warfare and motive and motivation. So I'm going to get my band to play my little break song, and I'm going to be like the Untouchables, and I'll be right back. You know, I love it when that guy would say at the end of that, and this is a Desi Lu production. It would go dun 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 dun. Tonight, Elliot Ness will fight Al Capone. I know some of you are probably too young to remember that, but actually go back and get some of the series. You can catch them on YouTube, as a matter of fact. The Elliot Ness and the Untouchables, and you'll see a guy that's really committed. We're talking tonight about class warfare, and we're also talking about what is your motive when you do something. When you decide to get into a business or start a new career, what's your motive behind that? Because, see, we always get confused between motivation and motive. Motivation can be the thing that makes you get up in the morning because you got to be motivated to get out and do something. But your motive is to go to work and basically make you some money. Well, a lot of times we do go into fields because we want to make money at that. We want to take care of our family. We want to do something and actually just buy clothes and dress nice and have a nice house and a nice car. That is the motive behind what you're doing. Your motivation should be that you want to be a happier person, that you believe that by doing things, not the things, but by doing things, makes you happy. So that way, even if you don't make a lot of money, you're motivated by just being in it, by being in it to know that you created something or you built something. Or you created something that's going to last, that your family's families and your family's family is going to be proud of. Again, I like writing. I enjoy writing. I believe it's my gift. I just got a new agreement from our editors in Canada. They're going to work with us on a financial end to try to help us get the books out there even better and faster. So that means the editing won't have to be so strenuous for us. But that's because I stuck with it. I mean, they've been with me since 09, and now we're talking about a different level of a relationship. We got 7 more minutes into the show. My number is 818-691-7395. That is the number you can call. Or you can email me, like most of you do, at McClureDonS@gmail.com. And I don't use my Yahoo anymore. I'm kind of tired of Yahoo. And I'm looking forward to doing more Skype. I'm still working on my Skype presentation. But we got 7 more minutes into the show. Actually, it's going to go down to 6 more minutes. If there's anything you'd like to ask, you can. But again, remember what we played for you. Get some of those songs. People make the world go round. And the next time the Republicans say something, kind of play that in the background while you're listening to the speeches. And think about all the people that I've read about. Or like I was reading a note today on Facebook where people were talking about, hey, you should be able to go forward if you believe in yourself. And we know that for a fact. It really starts with you. I always talk about that on my show. It really starts with what you believe. Not everybody else, but what you believe. And if you want to be a better person, we won't say happier, but a better person with your life, then that's up to you. I like the music that I play, whether it's old or new. And we're also going to get back to my website, www.dsmpublications.net, because I want you to buy some of my books. I mean, of course I want to be the greatest author in the world. And when you buy those books, just think about what you're doing. You're going to allow me to open up publication offices all across this country. Because I have to have PR people and secretaries and people to work with me. So your donations toward the books are going to do nothing but help me grow. And I can't thank the people enough that have been behind me, that believe in me. When it gets shaky, they still believe in me. Whether I'm doing really well, they believe in me. Whether I'm saying, oh, man, I don't know how we're going to finish this. But they stick with me. And I think that once you find a group of people like that, you have to respect they're willing to sacrifice so that you can make it. You're listening to the Don S. McClure Show, and we're talking about class warfare. In a lot of cities, it made no sense, especially in one city in Michigan, and I talked about that, for them to pull up the light poles and leave this one community in the dark, and then you turn around and come on the news and say General Motors is doing really well. They're now back to being the top automaker in Michigan. Well, if Ford is there and Chrysler is there and General Motors is there, what happened to the light posts? Why didn't they come back and say, look, we'll pay that bill off for the city, and we'll put those light posts back in so that the people are safe? That's what we mean by class warfare. Sure, they've done a great job. Sure, they're offering new jobs. But also sit down and take a look, like Cuba, and say, we still got some things we need to fix. So it's nice to do a commercial that General Motors is back. But what about that community that's out there that has no lights? And the city said they couldn't pay their bill. Well, pay it for them. That's one car, $60,000, if that's what the bill was. And even if it was $100,000, that's two cars. So to me, the public needs to say, hey, I'm glad you're back, but we also got some problems over here. We got 3 more minutes into the show, and you know I'm going to always leave a little early, not yet. And I'm going to play my favorite theme song, Still Standing, because I am still standing, and I'm working every day to bring out a new book. I'm almost done with the gods and the editing. That's going to come out. And tomorrow when I look on my emails, I want to see some orders from you guys. I want my books to start populating even more. My goal is to at least get rid of 3,000 books, and I know we can do it. I'm also scheduled to be in a couple other cities, and we're going to talk about that next week on my show, where I'm going, where I'm going to be touring. But tonight, I want to know if you had a chance to listen to the president's address, State of the Union. I thought it was great. I don't think the Republicans really had a lot to say, and some of them were so disrespectful that they didn't come or they didn't want to applaud. And that doesn't make any sense. It's kind of like when your mom serves a really good meal and you go like, it's okay. You got to respect that. You're listening to the Don S. McClure Show, and this hour has flown by. I've got 2 more minutes for my show, and when this one-minute thing comes around, I'm going to be going out to the store to get me some Sudafed or something. Actually, I think I want to get something else. I'm kind of fickle sometimes. But I meant to tell all of you, I got a little finger brace from working the mouse so long. I don't know. I think I better watch that. But anyway, I want to get some emails in and tell me what you think. And my ratings are going up. I like the fact that I'm getting more and more listeners. I want to send a shout-out to our new listeners. I want to send a shout-out to my friends at Atlanta, Chicago, New York, Detroit, California, Arizona, Indiana, and every darn else place, especially New Orleans. I'm going to be headed toward the New Orleans area soon. So that's going to be a big thrill for me. And, yes, I'm going to be in Atlanta. We got one more minute before the show is over. I'm going to get out of here, and I'm going to say my favorite saying. Wait a minute. I know my audience is getting ready to say they hate to see me go. That is so nice. I got 90 seconds left. It's so nice to get an audience button on my computer. I love it. I really do. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, tonight I'm going to say goodbye. And you know my favorite saying is, enjoy life, because that's all you have.